am, whoa, loud. I'm thrilled to see some faces we haven't seen for a while. Hi. Hi. I saw you at youth the other day, guys. Hey, nice to have you here with us today. We have visitors today from Ontario, from Galliano Island. Anywhere else joining us? Texas, yes. How could I forget Texas? Yeah. Well, hope happens here, part three. That's my part to play today. And I want you to know it's kind of been a bit of a how to do this today, because there's a lot packed into an outline that we have here, but I have something really heavy on my heart, and I will show that. But I do want to give an update. Youth car wash, 8 students throughout the morning from 10 to 1. At 5 to 1, please take the signs down. I don't know how many cars they did. They don't know how many cars they did. They gave up counting halfway through the morning, but as of this morning, just over $500 in donations. So well done, students. Well done. And a thanks to Mike Wagner, the family, and all the kids who came and helped us with that. Was awesome. Absolutely amazing time. They had fun. They had pizza. They had water guns. I did manage to avoid. Arhan and I will have a conversation later. Maybe. Anyway. In part one of Hope Happens Here, our theme for this opening of our season this fall from September on through, our first week we talked about hope in God's plan, and that when your life, even when your life is out of control, out of whack, out of whatever, God still has a plan in all of that. Whether or not we feel it or see it, God has a plan in that. Part two was hope in his love for us. And the theme we heard throughout the whole sermon was God is for us. It's for all of us. He's for all of us equally. We commemorated him being all for us just a few moments ago. In his death on the cross, that was his all for all of us. Today, we're talking about hope in Jesus' mission. And yes, it kind of goes in line with me being the community pastor and having a heart for reaching out and talking to people. Yesterday at the car wash, I had at least 4 or 5 comments. This is great. We've not seen this parking lot this full and this many people in here so happy in forever. And thank you for doing this for our community. Because not only did our own folks bless our students as they car washed, people lined up from the street. Just came in, they saw the signs, it worked, it was wonderful. They were thrilled to see a group of kids giving to the community, and they gave to them. Catherine has already read from our main text, Luke 4, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Father, your word today, may it work deep, deep in each of us. May there be such a stirring, healing, reviving, revitalizing, energizing sense of your work in our lives today because of this word. May we be changed every time we come into your presence. May we be changed because you have fixed or restored or renewed or given new hope in all of our issues. And may that hope sustain us until you come. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. As faithful followers of Jesus Christ, we have a freedom that others do not. We have freedom from sin and death, and can become independent from this world and all of its influences. But we do have responsibilities to meet with this. There is one huge difference for spirit-filled believers. We are able to live in the freedom and the power and person of the Holy Spirit. This is an active situation. It's not a one-time thing. The Holy Spirit power, the anointing of God, is available for each and every one of us. And that allows us to live in true Christian liberty. We can walk in the anointing of the Spirit. Verse 14 of Luke talks to us about when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. It's the beginning of this. He's speaking to folks in Galilee and whatever. The story just before that was, at the end of chapter 3, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And God the Father sent down a dove and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." With that, he was filled with the Spirit as he accepted Jesus into his heart, as he accepted the will of the Father upon himself. Kind of hard for Jesus to accept himself in his own heart, but as he accepted the will of the Father and submitted with baptism as a visible symbol, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus went into what we know as the desert wanderings for 40 days, praying and fasting. And at the end of that 40 days, as only the enemy can do, comes when we're weak, comes when he was fatigued, he was tired, he was hungry, he'd been wandering, he'd been fasting and praying, so God was sustaining him, and the enemy tempted him with food. Take care of yourself. Make sure you satisfy your flesh. I can help you do this. Just worship me. And Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father." I'm trying to find the rest of the verses there. Then the enemy took him up to a high place and said, "All of this can be yours. You could have power over everything I have power over." Because we know the enemy has dominion over the earth. "You, Jesus, can have power over all of everything I have and all of this. You just have to worship me, and I'll transfer it to you." And Jesus said, I have to do this. He says, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus was declaring his position to his Father, his allegiance to his Father. Then the enemy said, "Well, then we're going to get reckless. Just throw yourself down and let's see if God does for you what you think he will. You can test him." Now, how many of us have tested God? Has it worked out? Not always. Usually there's a lot of angst. Usually there's a lot of hard stuff we go through when we throw out a test and say, "God, I dare you to prove yourself, to do this, to whatever." And that doesn't always work. Jesus answered again with scripture. "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus was operating in the power of the Spirit at this time. When he was bringing up God's word, when he was aligning himself with his Holy Father, he was operating in the power of the Holy Spirit that he had been filled with prior to going in to the desert. And this power that he had from the Holy Spirit to speak to the enemy of all our souls was given to him by God the Father through the Holy Spirit. As he left the desert and the enemy took off, several versions said he took off to plan some other things. Whatever that would look like, but it does look like things in our lives. Jesus then returned to Galilee. And he went back to the synagogue to read as he had usually done. He went back to the place of teaching. He went back to the place of fellowship. He went back to the place of being where he was with other believers. But word had spread of what had happened at his baptism. Someone heard about some of the stuff, possibly in the desert, and they had heard that some amazing things had happened. So not only was the Holy Spirit operating in Jesus, he moved ahead and operated in the people about to receive him. And that's where my heart's been heavy this week, because I'm like, all the time and talent and everything in the world doesn't mean anything if we haven't given it to Jesus. And we don't let him do the work with it that he wants to do. Power can prepare us for ministry. It can prepare you. This Holy Spirit power can prepare you to have that response to a loved one that says, well, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I just want to do this. You can speak to that. Lord, is it okay to cheat on my taxes? No. Anytime we have a sense of we need to hear from God, he will speak. He prepares us. He fills us again. Each time we have more power. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't lessen. It's always exactly enough for what we need for every situation we are in. If you are moving in the power of the Spirit, God will prepare others to receive you. In Acts chapter 8, there was Philip, who was led by the Spirit down to the Gaza and ended up speaking to an Ethiopian. He had no idea why he was going there, except for there's the Ethiopian now he's to talk to. And the Ethiopian is someone was supposed to come today. And the Ethiopian met Jesus, because Philip responded in obedience to what God had placed on him with the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are led specifically by the Spirit to a certain person, you can rest assured he's already gone ahead of you to minister. Yep. For me, it's always been that I'm doing housework or dishes, and I get a name. Okay, I'll call. I'll pray. They call. I get the name again 2 minutes later. Okay. Three times. I'm getting better at answering God after two now. But usually it's three times and it clicks in. God, you want me to do something here. What is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to say? Do you want me to phone? Do you want me to be? Do you want me to call? Do you want me to pray for them at this moment? Do you want me to arrange time for go for a coffee? And every time I obey, God ministers. It's not me. It's me in obedience with the anointing of the Holy Spirit being there with someone or in some situation that they are already being prepared by the Spirit to receive ministry. Yesterday we heard our friend Tun speak. And for a vivacious little woman, she has a powerful voice. I love it. Absolutely love it. I tend to use my loud voice on the soccer field. I won't do that for you here because it's quite a loud voice and Peter will probably shut my mic off on me, which he should. The more you walk in the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the more he continues to anoint and the more powerful the presence of the Spirit is in your life. It's not a one-time, got it, done, we're, you know, ration it out from now till eternity. It is an ongoing, active anointing, filling, moving every day into something that God has for you. All he asks is our obedience and our willingness. Nowhere in Scripture does he ask for talent, for which I am so thankful. Because if you knew me when I was 14 years old and accepting Jesus, my only talent was being terrified of being the tallest kid in my class. Because I was 5'10" by the time I was 12, so I was one of the tallest kids. And not fitting in, and all the things that are involved in being a teenager, and God, yeah, can God use me? I'm just a... Fast forward to about, 10, 15 years, we're in Chesterville. And I'm meeting with the ladies' ministry team. And one of the ladies says, "Oh, Sue, you're so talented. You can do everything." And whatever. And I had to stop them and say, there are things I do because I've learned how to do them. I know how to cook. I know how to play sports. I know, because I've learned to do them. God has given me that capacity to learn and to enjoy and to be a part of those types of living. But the ability to declare his word for my life has been a miracle. Because as much as I have a voice that can carry, in grade 9, Tommy, you're going to love this, I have to do a French monologue. I have to do a monologue en français with a class. And my teacher, mon professeur, he is a bit sacrilegious. He thinks it's kind of cute that the church girl is going to talk in French. I'm taking a course. Why wouldn't I talk in French? To this day, this is in grade 9. I'm not telling you how old I am now, but it's a long time ago. I have my monologue written on my paper so I can read it properly, right? Make sure I'm getting it all. And the papers were like this. And my eyes went fuzzy gray because public speaking, first of all, I didn't like being the tallest person in the class. I didn't like being centered out, and I didn't like being in front of people. Now, that's changed, obviously, a little bit. But God has brought me from that to where I was in Chesterville to where I am here. But he does that in each of our lives. He has brought you from where you were when you first accepted him and understood the work that he did for us on his death on the cross. And as you grow in that, he brings you to new things and new places in your life. He brings new areas of ministry that you thought you might never have done. I cannot read a note of music. If you see me on the piano and it's making sense, it's a miracle. It would, because I don't read music. But I love to sing. I follow the notes. I've been in choirs. But it's just not a gift I have that I can be there. Would it have been? I don't know. But at this point, I know this with all my heart. I just want to worship and serve Jesus. I want to live in the power of his anointing Holy Spirit on my life every day of my life. I want to be in the place when someone says, "Pastor Sue, can you pray?" Yes. I want to be in the place, "Pastor Sue, can this get done?" Yes. I want to be in the place where, "Pastor Sue, we've got problems." I want to be there with. I might not have all the answers, and I'm going to be honest, I probably don't. Have I made mistakes in some things? Yes. But I know a Savior who doesn't make mistakes. I know a Master who has planned every step of my life. And I want to stay on the path he has laid out before me. So the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit enhances our message. It doesn't, you can have all the wisest and eloquent words, and there are people who are great speech makers. And I love to listen to them because they sound so amazing. And then I go, and I'm preaching on Sunday. But God's words with his anointing through a willing, obedient vessel do far more than well-intentioned rhetoric. We need to understand the purpose of the anointing. And this is where it gets into a bit of, you can see this from two sides, like that there's two intentions with this next part. It's to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal broken hearts, proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight for the blind. Preaching the gospel to the poor. This is for those who have not received Jesus. This is for those who are faltering in their grasp and understanding of who Jesus is. They may know about God, they may have heard about him, but speaking the gospel to someone who is meek in spirit, poor in spirit, who doesn't have the full measure of Jesus Christ living in them, when God calls us to do that, it's a pretty amazing thing to watch when a light bulb clicks in or an emotion happens or something goes and you kind of go, this is what it is. This is what Jesus meant. And you go from there. To heal broken hearts. Jesus was sent to heal the hearts that are broken by sin. Sin breaks hearts. It keeps us from having a loving relationship with God our Father. When we remember that hope in God, that he has a plan for us and that he is for us, these are the two healing factors that remind us that we can have a loving relationship with God the Father. We need to ask him to forgive us. We need to press into who he is. We need to remember that he sent his son to die on the cross for us to pay the price of whatever it is that is keeping us out of that relationship with Jesus. But this anointing gives us the ability to speak to healing broken hearts. And it's for each and every one of us to be able to do that. Proclaiming liberty to the captives. Second Timothy 2:24-26, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This next sentence, written by this author, one author I was working with here, the world is full of those who are so satisfied with life that they do not see the need to be saved. We all know it is easy to substitute stuff, things, ideas, teachings, money, like all of these things have the potential of becoming a substitute and take the rightful place of Jesus Christ in our hearts. If it's more important to do this and I forget that, and we slip into that so easily. Years ago, I was working with an agency in Ontario. It's called the Ontario March of Dimes, working with adults with disabilities from a community perspective and helping them get into the workforce. It was a social service agency very specifically geared towards people on disability. And most of my coworkers were women, and I would say about 95% of them were very feminist, liberal-minded, which in one sense is not bad because you do have to have that ability to be who God has created you to be. And I'm not saying God's feminist, and I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying it's okay to stand up for what you know is yours. And that's what we were working with. But in the conference room and in the training rooms and all the other trainings and all that, one day I came home and I said, well, why can't we do this and that and this and that? And it was like God just whacked me, just stopped me. And he said, be very careful that you are building your premises and opinions on my word and not on the opinion and popular culture in your community. I was on a path of becoming captive to a very actively, aggressively feminist, liberal point of view. I needed God to do that for me. Because I was, It's a slippery slope. The first step is not ever too bad. The second step, you can still hang on a little bit. But then all of a sudden, it is slick, and boom, you're in. And I think that would probably help us see a lot of definitions of things we see going on in our world today. That it's a slippery slope. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, you are more than welcome to line it up with His word. And if it doesn't line up with His word, then keep praying. Because God will give you what He has for you. You still need to line it up with His word. There is wisdom in His word, obviously, and guidance. There's also wisdom in many counselors. That means we need each other. We need each other to remind each other of what we have. I love the last sentence here. The ministry of the anointed people of God is to lovingly explain to those who are captive to world systems that there is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is victory in the name of Jesus. There is liberty in the name of Jesus. It's got nothing to do with wit or genius or talent of myself or any one of us. It has everything to do with the presence of Jesus in our lives. And as we submit to Him and the power of the Holy Spirit that He has for us to live our daily life, the roof can blow off. Not literally, but honestly, there are so many people out there, and maybe in here, that are just hungry for God to do something new, for God to do something real and of value, and show me that you love me and all of this. Well, friends, God has a plan. We have hope in that plan for us. The ultimate end of that plan of hope is heaven. In view of all we go through here, we have heaven. I'd rather be known as the person who didn't squeak it in by the last little second. I want to go hooping and hollering and screaming right in there. I'm here. I'm not going to say, I'm going to say, well done, though, faithful. But I want to be able to hear that. So I don't want to not be doing His will. I want to be right in the middle of it. Recovery of sight for the blind. And this is where we can see two intentions with this. Isaiah 9 and 2 says that people walked in a darkness. And it's referring to a spiritual darkness. And the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is light for the world, right? It is a light for the world. It is a light out of spiritual darkness because honestly, the only way you get rid of darkness is turning on a light. You only need one. Every one of us has someone, someplace, somewhere that you can somehow, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, be light to. That means be ready. It means know that you know that you know your Savior loves you so much that you can share that with that person. This also speaks as well to, we have the ability. We have the probably even the commandment, we pray for healing, right? We did some of that yesterday with our ladies group. We often do that with communion, and we were sharing that with each other today. We can pray for healing. So it's got two sides to it. I remember my mom saying she would rather be the quadriplegic she was, double amputee, she was, than to miss out on serving Jesus. She knew that the circumstances of her life, with all the pain and everything like that, could have driven her from Jesus. And she was quite content to serve Jesus without her two natural legs. You would not believe the look on the mover's faces one year when we moved and I had two pairs of my mom's prosthetic legs in my basement. They were a little surprised. But she would rather have served Jesus without her legs than to have her legs and miss him entirely. And I guess when you have influences like that in your life, it kind of rubs off. At the end of verses 18 and 19 and going into 20 and 22, the scripture is fulfilled. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed one. Pardon me. Freedom for the oppressed. I think that means exactly what it means. We know there are cultures, societal cultures, etc., going on in our world today where people are oppressed. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life is out to get me. I genuinely just don't want to even face life. And that oppression strikes deeply at the heart of Jesus because he wants us to be free. He wants us to have the freedom to be liberated to speak about him. There's an old chorus that says, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. I'm trying to remember the rest of it, and we don't need to sing it right now, but it's honestly, when you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you have to let that enemy go. And I think here's where this word is coming in that I spoke about earlier. Do not, it's for someone, maybe more, maybe me too. Do not diminish the work of Jesus Christ on the cross by living your life saying, I can't. I won't. God can't use me. I'm not good enough. Do not diminish the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He gave me a picture of wallowing. You know what that is? Have you seen pigs wallow in the mud? When we declare Jesus to be Lord and Savior of all, the wallowing in the mud stops. We have victory over that. We have liberty from that. Is it a bit of a process at times? Probably yes, because we are, to quote Shrek, people are like onions, or ogres are like onions. We got layers. We got to sort it out a bit at a time. But in doing that, if we continue to say, I can't do that for you, Jesus. I won't do that for you, Jesus. You have diminished his work on the cross in your life. You've diminished his opportunity to speak salvation to you. You've diminished his justification. You diminished the sanctification he has for you. You diminish your hope of a reasonable life here on earth, and you diminish your view of your hope of heaven. So please, do not let your life diminish you from Jesus. This anointing is for everyone. Peter says on the day of Pentecost, the promise is to you and your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. And on that day, the anointing was on Peter, and 3,000 were saved. Do you know last week we had 5 people accept Jesus here? Yeah. Yeah. And we're rejoicing that they're going to be going to heaven. We're hoping to have a chat with. We're hoping to help be a disciple and be partner along with and come alongside of. But 5 accepted Jesus. I don't know if that's for today. If it is, let me know. I'm happy to have a conversation with. What we do get to do, no matter what, is we do get to declare Jesus over everything. And with this, the worship team can come back, if they would, please. We have a song they're going to do at the end here. Whatever you're facing, whatever is hard in your life, whatever is confusing you in your life right now, Whatever is keeping you from feeling fully liberated in who Jesus wants you to become, speak his name over that. Speak his name over your finances. Speak his name over your family. Speak his name over your household. Speak his name over your relationships. I don't have all the answers. Honestly, pastors can't fix everybody's life. Some days we have enough time getting our own in order. But I will stand with and help declare Jesus' name over whatever. And we will pray through and line things up with Scripture, because that's what Jesus did when he was tempted. He lined it up with Scripture. We're going to sing a song, and Pastor, if you would do the close then, please.